Is the thing on?
Oh my god, I'm so sorry I'm late, but I had other things to be doing. Not really. Hi everyone, welcome to Uncensored Radio. As you can see, it's a small group of very special individuals today. Luke is coming, but he's fashionably late, so TikTok, my friend. I don't know if you're watching yet, but yeah, welcome. We want to say happy Thanksgiving to our American friends. If you'll notice, we're all Australian on the panel
happy
today. Happy Genocide Day.
I'm anti this day, so I'm just going to chime in and be negative, Nance. But
exactly. I was going to say, it's lucky that we don't have any like genocidal holidays to celebrate, right, guys? We're so good. Hey, we're so fortunate. So, Miss Brooke, how are you this week?
I am good. I've spent the whole week looking after my extremely unwell child, and he's getting on my nerves. So, look, he's someone else's issue next week. It's fine.
It's someone else's bad problem, but it's all good. And I have a fresh, lovely new face joining us today. We have the lovely Marissa. How are you? I'm going to come and zoom in on you. We're going to talk all about you in a second, but just introduce yourselves to the folks at home.
Hello, my name is Marissa Soroka. My pronouns are she, they. I am a friend of Steve's from school, from high school.
Oh,
so
we're
going to
get
fun.
Back there. We're going to talk all about it. And here we go. Better late than never. Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Luke. How are you today? We're going to go straight to you.
Oh, we're going to do a how am I? Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to be honest because I've been on the phone for 2 hours with the ATO, and that's something riveting you all want to live through as well. I'm doing great otherwise. I know it's Thanksgiving in America, but I thought we'd just Australian this up. I even got out a little wala.
Wala.
Yeah, mate. So I'm doing okay.
Oh, look,
how
we have an American calling in on the line. Hello, Mr. Dylan Cody, co-host Supreme. We've been missing you, sir. I hope you're well. I hope you're full of turkey and all that kind of thing. So yeah, we have a special guest today. We're not going to bury the lead. The lovely Marissa Soroka has agreed to join us. Now, as she just dropped the ball, I have known the lovely Marissa for many, many, many moons now, too many to count, I think. But Marissa, I'm going to do something and you're probably not going to be happy about it. I've known Marissa this long.
Oh, I'm okay with this.
Look at baby Marissa, everyone.
Stars in your eyes, little one, where do you go to dream? To a place we all know, the land of make-believe.
That's all we'll do.
Exactly the same.
No.
How cute are you?
I have not grown at all.
Yeah, no, probably not, hey?
Yeah, not at all.
So for
not
those
changed.
Of you that
still the same.
From Newcastle, Australia, do you want to tell them a little bit about starting your career in Starstruck, right? Talk about Starstruck for these people.
Talk about Starstruck. It's basically in the Newcastle Entertainment Centre. It's a big Department of Education kind of variety show concert thingy, I guess, and I, you know, got solos every year and signed programs. It was basically a touch of fame, like, you know, as a teen.
And I think,
and then
I
you went back to school and continued to be bullied. And
you go back to school and, you know, cop it sweet, like every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I think that was a really amazing thing for, you know, young talent in this area to be able to, you know, perform to that amount of people and to, you know, have a week's worth of shows that, you know, Starstruck was probably still is, so out of touch. Like, that. It was the social calendar of the year for the performing arts kids because we are both graduates of Hunter School of the Performing Arts.
I was going to say, was it like a localised young talent time?
Oh, but on an epic scale, like, there were, It was like a full arena show, orchestra, choir, like all this kind of stuff. So it was great. And then that was my first exposure to Marissa. But the first time I met Marissa,
she's like an STI.
She is. She's amazingness.
That's on my bio, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Diva and STI of amazingness. The first time we actually met was Year 7 compulsory choir. The whole year was just backing singers for Marissa. It was great. It was my favorite
thing. No wonder everyone hated me.
I still got it. I swear by the moon and the stars in the sky. Go, Marissa.
I'm sorry, I don't know any of the chorus parts.
I don't sing my own backing vocals, bitch. It's all good. So you've known from, I think it's fair to say, from day dot that you wanted to be in music, right? And making music and performing. So talk to us about like the beginnings of all of it. Like when you were little Marissa and you're like, this is what I've decided.
Well, you know, it was the singing in the room with the hairbrush or like a deodorant can. Actually, I preferred. I just kept singing at every opportunity I could. When I was 18 and old enough to be out and about, I answered an ad in the paper, like the real life classifieds, to be a singer in a cover band. So that was my first band, and I was with them for years and was writing and recording and kept doing whatever I could, really. And
She has the hustle, folks.
She got the albums out. I should have them with me.
Baby, she's all over it. You know me. I got you.
Yeah, thanks.
But the journey has been a long and winding road, hasn't it? Like,
mate,
as someone who knows you, like, it's you've done the reality show thing well and truly, but. So I want you to talk to us about your experience in Australia first with, you know, being
stuff.
Who you are and what you look like and who, you know, and trying to get on these reality shows that everyone thinks is going to make them rich, famous and amazing in 0.2 of a second.
I don't know whether or not, like, you know, because I do talk a lot about racism and stuff like that here and elsewhere. And with the shows like that, I don't know if that was necessarily my problem. Like, they do tend to champion people, you know, like Paulini guy, blah, 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 like so many. But for me, it was always that Australia is like those shows in Australia are such producer shows. So if you don't have a story, if someone doesn't have cancer, if someone doesn't blah, 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 then like you don't really have a chance. And so, you know, when I was auditioning for those things like forever ago, I wasn't at the time the kind of person to be like, oh, poor me. Like I would deal with my things by myself, but not, you know.
So what you're saying now, Marissa, when I was growing up, you would make up a complete storyline just for yourself. And even who cares if it's real or not? Yeah, like I have a stalker.
But yeah, it is true. You go into these rooms and as someone who's also done it, you go into these rooms and you sing and they go, yeah, amazing, next round, yep, sweet, cool. And you wait and you hang around all day and then they go, everything's great, like your voice is great, but we just need a little bit more of like a story. And you're like, do you want me to go cut my arm off in the car park? Like, they tell you at the end of the day, yeah, we just need a little bit more of a story. I'm like, well, Jesus, sorry.
You couldn't have told me that. Where is the story? Just work on that shit?
Oh, everyone's going now. It's all right.
I've really gotten everyone going.
Yeah, it is. But this is where we're going to lead because you took a left turn, baby, and you just decided, you know what? I'm going on The Voice. I'm going to the Philippines to do it. It's happening. Tell us about that. That's a boss move, babe. It's a boss move.
Um, I
have always, like I said, just everything, every decision for me has been like career-wise, but I mean career as in love, passion-wise as well, because it's the same thing for me. And look, I happen to be in America, and a cousin of mine, a cousin of mine told me there was an open audition for the first season of The Voice of the Philippines. I was in New York, had no money. It was in LA. I called my dad. I was like, Daddy, are we all going to try it for The Voice of the Philippines, you know, and get to know the heritage and, like, stay with the family and stuff?
Oh, you played up the shit
like,
really
funny.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daddy. Really suck. Yeah, and then basically it was a day of, like, it was an open call. It was their first audition for the whole thing. And they kind of like did a culling process all day. So I ended up being like the last of six. And then they were like, okay, well, I think it was in September of like 2012. And they're like, okay, well, this is the first day of auditions. We don't know what's happening. We don't know when it is. We'll email you. So it's kind of like, okay, what's happening?
Good luck.
And literally like, I know, 6 months later, I get an email. And that was like, be in the Philippines for the blind auditions in 2 weeks. And like, I bought a ticket and quit my jobs, blah, blah. And then I realized like, I probably should have had my dad transcribe it for like, because it was in Tagalog. And I just saw lots of exclamation marks and was like, I must have won. So lucky it was true, because otherwise I'm like, hey, girls, yeah. So, yeah, and I just did that and went over there on a kind of, I like to think I manifested it at the same time, but, yeah, it was just one of those crazy things that I do to try something and have an opportunity.
Chase
you know?
The dream, baby, chasing the dream.
Was it a positive experience, Marissa, though? Did you really?
Yeah. Like,
as a performer, I mean, every performer
because
loves to perform.
Tell these guys who your coach was.
Leia Salonga. So if you don't know, if you're not a big, okay, yeah, you guys don't know, great. So the voice, the singing voice of Princess Jasmine and Mulan,
yeah.
And also massive on Broadway, so Miss Saigon, the first Eponine. So like a massive big deal, like there obviously in the Philippines and internationally as well. And like,
love you, Anne.
Oh, that's nice. I was so stoked, and I actually like, yeah, she was the one that I would have wanted to have as a coach anyways. And like, you know, now she follows me on Instagram and Facebook, and when that happened, I died.
So she should.
I'm quite. But, and so tell us a little bit about your battle as well, because it's pretty epic. If you go and see that battle on YouTube. It's a diva off, right?
Yeah. Well, Rada, who was my battle partner, is actually in a really famous kind of like pop EDM band group in the Philippines, and also like on the British scene, like in the 90s. So it was kind of like her comeback kind of thing. So I was definitely the underdog, like that nobody knew of or anything like that. And yeah, so it was really cool. It was just really cool. You know, we had a great time, and because it's The Voice, I think different to the others, like you're still part of a team. So even after like I was out of it, you know, you're still cheering for your team and stuff. So it's not just like you're there as an individual. And also because I just went to do this, I didn't have to sing anymore. I would just be out partying like all the time with all of the other.
Marissa,
my best friend in the show.
Did you put Rada away?
No, I lost it. I lost the battle. But I was totally happy with how it went. I had it's one of my, like, the performances I'm most proud of, because it's really hard to, like, have a performance that feels, like, not necessarily that it's perfect, but feels perfect to you, and that you really, like, feel good about. And for that to happen also while it's being televised and recorded is, like, you know, one in a million. So I was just really happy with the experience and being there and being able to spend time in the Philippines.
And it's something and you can look back on when you're old and grey and go, hey, babe, look.
I did that thing.
But you've been doing that thing for ages. Like, in the last 18 months, you've done chess as well. And Rent.
Yes, in Newcastle. Beautiful. Yes. My fifth version of Rent.
No one is whole. Yeah, I do know that. That one's in the
Sydney Opera House, though.
So yeah, that's a boss special. Move. She's moved on from the little Newcastle, well, not little Newcastle Entertainment Centre, but you know, she's doing Opera yeah, House. Big Newcastle now. Entertainment Centre. Big girl yeah. pants on now.
I've got like some merch in the back. Where'd it go? Oh, it's fallen down. We got a free pencil case.
Well, look.
Thanks, merch. Thanks, Entertainment House.
At least free something's better than nothing, baby. Remember the High School Musical days? It's all good. We did that shit. So Marissa and I also worked together in the, I think it was the first one, wasn't it? That was the whole big reason that Disney came over to look at it. It was the first version of High School Musical that they'd ever done in an arena show was done here in Newcastle. And
you know it wasn't supposed to be, though.
Yes, we know it wasn't. There was a bit of drama. So behind the scenes tea. So we'd been rehearsing for 6 months, right? Six or 7 months. And then all of a sudden we get this message. We're at the entertainment center teching, and they're like, oh, the people from Disney are coming to watch tonight. It's like, cool. Telling us whether or not we can go ahead. It's like the tickets have been sold. It's just like, okay, no worries. But that was an amazing experience too. I mean,
yeah, and come then on. I've met, like, I'm since friends with people who were in the actual Australian professional production of that.
Yeah.
That was only on stage for like 6 weeks because of maybe poor sales. And they're like, we hate you. It's because of you. And I'm like, sorry.
We can't help it that we did it better here in Newcastle. I'm sorry. I went and saw it on in Sydney. I did my part.
I auditioned. Our audition for the Sydney one. Yeah. It was like so fucked. not the production. The audition was fucked. So you'll love this. So we're doing like, you know, did the sing. There's an open dance call, which is like always my worst thing. And then I was
Marissa's unofficial dance captain. She's like, what do I do here? Please help me. I need you to do this for me. Like, I got moved from like four rows back up to in the finale right next to Marissa because she's like, I got no idea. I'm like, it's okay. I got you, girl. I got you.
But yeah, so like I was like the second worst person in the dance call, but then they had us all line up in a line. Mm-hmm. Hey, I might have like cut out a little bit. Sorry, am I back? Yes.
Yeah, you're back. You cut out.
So they had us. Yes. Yeah, they had us line up in a line, right? Single file. So there's about like, I don't know, God, 50 people, whatever. And they go like, okay, everybody, show us your tricks. And I was like thinking, I'm like, I know this is not the right thing to say, but I've only seen Pretty Woman. Like, that's the only trick I know. Like, what is happening? Next minute, some chick's going like, this is a double barrel handspring tuck backwards, forwards thing, and then does it. And I'm like, so
it's like the audition for Bring It On.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could do a cartwheel for you. And they're like, it's okay.
That's not required.
Where's your triple back tuck, girl? Come on.
Standing back, handspring back tuck. Always the one.
Yeah. No? Whatever.
But you don't need gymnastics at the moment because you're going straight out killer, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm just like, I only do shows that like, oh, hello.
Hello. Let's talk about it. I want to know all about it. I am so, so interested to hear all about this. So please fill us in. Oh,
it's incredible. So it's about the story of, oh, Brooke, you might know all about
know,
this. Actually.
I know.
It's the story.
Everything.
Yeah.
We all love Lizzie Borden.
I love.
Get that X.
Yeah. So Lizzie Borden allegedly axe murdered her father and stepmother in 1892. And so this is a musical about that, essentially. So there's four actors. Myself, I'm playing Lizzie, and my sister, Lizzie's sister, The next door neighbor, who is a love interest, and the maid, the household maid. So it's like a, it's a queer story. At those times, it's kind of like this, it's kind of like the thing where in historical times you're like, oh, so-and-so never married, but they had a companion till they, like, till their death, and it was a woman, and you're like, they're lesbians, like, just let's be real here, you know? So it's kind of like, you know, that kind of historically, it seemed to be that. We're actually getting Centrelink and single people. So it's kind of, it's really dark, and it's so challenging. There was also kind of like whispers of like abuse from the father, and that's also what contributed to it. And the stepmother was trying to get the daughters out of the will. So it's kind of, it's a big, dark and intrigue and
murder. Gonna say, because you could sort of play this both ways for a musical, you could almost ham it up, but this is obviously a very serious take on Lizzie's story.
No, it's super camp.
It is camp.
So I think so the director Maeve Marsden, who's this legendary queer writer, performer, actor, just a total legend. We've already had some conversations about it. We start rehearsals on Monday, actually. So she was like, you know, we've her and the MD, Victoria Falconart, they've kind of figured out language for us to help. So they're like, we've got a dial. And it's the turn up the camp dial. So that's kind of like helping us go, okay, this is like crazy, nutso, like music theater. And now we get to the serious parts where like you're free to be vulnerable and sincere and all this. And then like there's a song called, oh my God, it's my favorite. It's called Why Are All These Heads Off? It's amazing.
Yeah, Lizzie, why?
And it's just like, it's rock. And it's just like, why are all these heads off? Like,
oh, thrash it out, baby.
So good. Yeah.
Thrash it
so,
out.
So I'm so excited. And the sing's amazing. It's like rock and big, high, screamy belts. Oh, I can't wait to
That's
just,
you,
like,
babe.
Kick
That's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when is all this happening for people in Australia that wanna, you know, check it out?
Oh, yes. Well, we open on the 13th of January to the 5th of February. We're part of Sydney Festival at the Hayes Theatre. So online we're at Lizzie Musical Oz, AUS. But you
we'll
can
tag
it
today in the post.
Follow me.
And follow Marissa if you need it.
Just follow me.
Just follow her. That's all you need to know. Yeah. Well, I am super excited. I was like, this smells like something I could get behind. When you announced it the other, like a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh, that's amazing. I want to talk to her about that. So we've done it. We've talked to her about it.
Yeah, we did. We did.
With me.
Yeah. So we got weird friends. We'll fill out your audience for you.
I told them, I'm like, man, it'll be, well, Ali Calder, who plays my sister, is also actually from Newcastle. And she's amazing. She's played the alternate Elphaba in the Australian professional tour of Wicked. She was in the professional Legally Blonde. So like she's epic also. And she's from Newcastle. So I'm like, guys, like the show's just going to be Newcastle all day.
Yeah,
all day.
Why don't you just bring it to Newcastle? Tour it down the road,
Sydney
baby.
Festival, whatevs.
Tour it down the road.
I know, right?
Okay, are you ready, Marissa? I was like, you've got to stick around and play with us now. So we're gonna get into it. We're gonna get into the show proper with this week's
hot load of hot topics.
Marissa's like, WTF.
I don't know what happened.
That's good. That's all right. Just roll with it.
I love it's it. Very much surprise.
Very much the vibe of the show. All right. Look, we'll start out with the depressing stuff.
Let's make it fun.
Let's talk about this Christmas parade.
Maybe not.
Oh, God.
Holy.
It started out fun.
It did start out fun, but what kind of individual, let's phrase it this way, what kind of individual drives the parade of children at Christmas time? I like
a criminal piece of shit that was escaping another knife assault.
You can have all kinds of feelings about, you know, religion. Oh my God, that's so bad. But come on, dude. It's Christmas. It's Wisconsin. It's like rural America.
So the story for that is, though, he was fleeing. So he was in an altercation with someone, stabbed them, and was escaping that. So he didn't set out to, like, run down children at a parade. They just happened to be in his way. And he's obviously a piece of sociopathic, psychotic shit that just didn't care.
But what is the world? But what is the world like? Where it's like, you know, it's a Christmas. Like, I'm not the biggest Christmas person in the world, but I'm not going to go and mow down like a parade route of children, you know, just to get out of crime.
Like, what's scary is, though, how many crimes has this person committed leading to this? This is what's scary is it's never just, oh, suddenly they do something crazy. 9 times out of 10, there's this trending pattern of violent crime involved in all this shady shit and drugs and beating people and whatever, raping women is usually a big one too, and they just keep getting let out.
Go, Riss.
This guy, like, okay, I already told Steve, I don't really know anything about any of the topics for today, so I'm doing a Google as we talk. And, you know, this guy looks to be black, and I bet he's going to be done for murder, whereas something else we're talking about today did not happen. So yes, there's also that. Exactly. Like, no doubt the thing is shit.
No,
like,
doubt.
But
yeah. That's just like, we're going to go to Happy Christmas News later, but, you know, that one, Marissa kind of, you know, dropped the ball on it. Kyle Rittenhouse has, you know, walked away scot-free, despite, you know, carrying a sort of semi-automatic weapon across state lines at the age of 17 years old. The Americans aren't here, so they can't argue that the problem isn't mental health. It isn't anything.
Fucking gun laws.
It's the fact that you have guns.
You're arming idiots with weapons.
To 17-year-old children, and they're just, like, allowed out on the street at 17.
Guys, could you imagine being in the Macca's drive-thru on a Friday night if everyone was armed? In Australia,
we'd be fucked, mate.
We'd be fucked,
especially
up.
King Street.
We'd be fucked, mate.
Exactly. So you wonder, like, this is. I've gotten into this so many times with our American co-host, who I love dearly, but I just can't see why the Second Amendment in 2021 still means so much. If someone wants to take over your country, they're walking in with fucking rifles from England.
It's because of money and their, like, white supremacist idea of sovereignty and individualism. That's why. So they'll not let that go. Whereas Australia, like, funny enough that it was actually John Howard who brought it in, who obviously, like, super conservative. But, like, it's
but
not
still
as,
logical
it's,
enough to go, this
kind
is
of,
shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's so nuts that, right? Like, but here... It's just not quite the same as that in that individualistic kind of way, right? Like,
but this was my point to them. I think, like, it took Port Arthur for Australia to go, that's not okay. What is it going to take for them to go, this isn't okay? Like, we've had
Sandy Hook.
Someone nothing. Walk into a kindergarten and just take out children. Nothing. Like, do you know what I mean?
But nothing is going to make it them
nothing,
change their
like,
opinion
I
on
just,
it.
That blows my mind. It blows my mind that you can't go, the problem is access to guns. If you don't have access to guns, then it's not it can't happen, but it's already an illegal activity. Do you know what I mean? You're seeking that gun out illegally. You're already going to go to jail whether you get it or not. Do you know what I mean? It's just the rate of gun violence here has... You know, despite, like, the recent finds of all those guns in Sydney. Whoops. But, like, the gun violence has dropped here so dramatically. I don't know. I think it's just sad. Like we talk to the Americans all the time. How do you prepare your children to walk out the door every day knowing you might not see them?
You give them one. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Because yes, if they've got a gun, I've got a gun. Isn't that right?
Imagine if Lizzie Borden's dad had a gun. He would have been all right. You know,
he probably did. Right. He just didn't see it coming.
Have you seen the crime scene photos on that shit? He would not have been okay.
Yeah, Lizzie's dad was not okay. Especially when his eye was over this side of his face. It's not good.
My 12-year-old Googled Lizzie Borden, and it's the first thing that comes up. It's amazing. He has a full theory on that. He has a full theory. Anyway,
don't Google it. Just save yourself.
Your kid has a theory?
Yeah, on the whole Lizzie Borden scenario.
Oh, can we talk? I'm doing research at the moment. I'll hook you up with a
podcast later, Marissa. It's amazing. They did that.
Amazing. Thank you.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
All right, speaking of, let's talk about more murderous scum.
Oh, okay.
Brian Lowry.
I'm so sick of talking about him.
So the autopsy has concluded that it was suicide.
No shit, Sherlock. Huge surprise. Yeah, a dog was after him and he shot himself.
Yeah. Huge surprise. Huge surprise that this guy killed himself. But my biggest issue is, and it's something that is prevalent in society, have we heard Gabby Petito's name recently mentioned? Or is it all about this dude that killed her?
It's all about him.
It's always been about him.
It's why she's dead, because he was jealous and he wanted it to be about him, so he made it about
him. He got his last little narky hurrah.
He got his little wish.
It's just sad, though. Like, I know I had a go about it. And in retrospect, it probably wasn't in the best taste. But the reason why it got as much coverage as it did is because she was a pretty white girl with a social media following. You know?
Yep.
Let's not beat around the bush about it. But we're just perpetuating this grossness even further by, you know, ignoring the fact that this girl's murdered, essentially. Well, not... Yeah, murdered. We can't... I don't have to say allegedly. He murdered her.
She's dead. She's not coming to Thanksgiving.
This is what we're focused on, this piece of trash and his family and all these conspiracy theories that he's still alive and that, you know, rah, 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 they planted DNA to get him away and all of this. She wasn't Beyonce.
It's no surprise to me that somebody like him, because it sort of seemed like that whole relationship was very toxic. He had coercive control of her, that a narcissist would actually make it all about them. Like, oh, you're dead now, but everyone's going to talk about me. It's no surprise. I think it's gross. I've really, even us giving it airtime now, like, I know we have to talk about it, but like, ugh, fuck you, mate.
Oh, look, I don't plan on talking about it much at all, unless, you know, aliens come down and reveal that Gabby is alive and the queen
and
princess
of the
universe. And
Demi Lovato warned in space.
Yeah, unless we go full Demi on it. Like, you know, we break out our Demi wand and pleasure ourselves as we sing to aliens. Stranger things have happened, guys. Stranger things have happened. It is.
This would be the show.
Who kind of wants to buy the wand? Let's just show a hand.
Look, I've got one on order.
No, oh, there you go. Whoops, go on Demi first. You
know, I can't give Demi any more of my attention. I'm sorry.
I
was a big, big Demi Lovato fan. I was like, you're like voice amazing. Just shouldn't be allowed.
She just
on
a
social
little
media. Rash.
Should she come like, off the rails a little bit. She all right. Come on.
She's not off the rails. Mate,
if you're a celebrity, I don't think celebrity culture is conducive to being a person, because like if you're at that level, there's no way. And she like they sorry like a child star, you know, like there's no mental health
and like a famously horrible experience, you know. She's I was team Demi all the way, and then I was team Demi all the way, watched the documentary, like the Dancing with the Devil documentary. I'm like, yeah, I'm with it. And then they started to sell the album through, like, I was sexually assaulted, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like,
look,
weird flex.
Attachment style straight away, completely
weird
fucked
flex
up from all that trauma. So it's no surprise that Demi...
We go from honest and like horrible trauma to I'd date an alien if they came down here, and we can't call them aliens because that's offensive. I'm like, oh, babe.
Come on, leave them alone.
Come on, take a year off. Oh, you've got enough money. Just take a year off. Go hunt aliens. Do your thing. Do your thing. Like, do your nasty. I'm not going to yuck your yum, but I don't think it needs to be on social media. That's just me. Because back in the day, there was no social media. And I think Tiffany would have really appreciated the fact that there was no social media. Have you guys seen this video?
She's rough in it. She drunk because so, I know someone
Tiffany,
who's
Tiffany, I think we're alone now, Marissa. Yeah, I think we're alone
now. Yeah, I know who it is. Yeah.
She... Courtney Love is the best, is as close as I can get to, you know, describing even her vocal, like, it's not a vocal.
She wasn't in a place to be on stage. Like, she looks messed up. Like,
she's out of it. She's completely out of it, singing a completely different key, line delivery, whatever. And then in the beginning of it, she just starts screaming at the audience, fuck you. This is my hit. I've been seeing it right.
She weren't in a good place. And it's a shame, though. Like, this is what happens. Like, you know, we've all probably not to that degree where we just start screaming at an audience. And say,
I love it.
But, you know, we've all had shitty moments in our life, but it doesn't get, like, put all over TMZ.
I mean, Marissa, you are a gigging musician. And we've all had
to fuck off before.
We've all had those gigs where things go really, really wrong. But you are not, that's not really it, is it?
Mate, sometimes you just, people are fucked, especially audiences. And I do shitty, no, I won't say that. I do like cover gigs. Like that's nothing in comparison to like the level of ownership that the people think they have over you. So I'm not saying behavior wasn't bad, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know what the situation was, but I just at the same time understand. I understand like when shit goes wrong. And I think that if you're not a performer or not in those situations, like, or for example, so I went platinum blonde for like 5 years, and obviously like I have Asian dark hair, right? And so it was like every time it was like a 5 to 8 hour process. And I was like, do you know what? I get why Britney shaved her fucking head, because she had to sit in this chair and in this burning chemical pain, like month after month after month. Like, yes, like fucking burn it down, shave your fucking head. Like that's, yeah. So that's my opinion.
Thank you for the segue, Team though, Tiffany. We are going back in time, guys.
I'm so
it feels
busy.
Like it is. It feels like it's the 90s again, because Britney and Christina are having words. Words.
What's going on
been...
with Christina's tits? Yeah. Before we get into anything else, what the fuck is going on there?
Everyone knows I'm a huge fan of titties.
But like, contouring bad.
Everyone knows I love titties, but that's just fucking wrong.
It looks like He-Man's pecs just decided to fucking sit on her tits.
It's like
not that we're judging people's bodies or anything, but
we'd never do that on this show.
Never.
But do you know what the funny thing is? That Britney is making Christina relevant again, and that's the whole situation.
Well, look, to be fair, let's not shit on Christina. Like, I know that it's cool to do.
Do you put up little tiles for your own team, Steve's team, Christina, or do you? Just,
I'm not. Like, I'm Team Britney. I'm Team Britney. But she is midway through her she's trying to do her own little comeback thing, and she's done the whole, you know, weight struggle thing, and she's looking pretty fire at the moment. I like the hair color. I'm down with the hair color.
Have a go at a makeup artist.
So Christina, so the whole issue is that at the Latin Grammys, Christina was approached on the red carpet asking about, you know, the conservatorship ending and blah, 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 blah. At which point she, turned to face her minder and then pulled a sad face and said, I'm sorry, I can't. And then her minder cut in and said, no, we're not doing that tonight. I'm sorry and thank you.
And Christina, she's obviously had instruction on that before.
Yeah, obviously.
That's why she sort of was looking like, oh, is it okay? Yeah. Like,
no. But then Christina said before she walked away, but I'm happy for her. So fair enough, right? Britney was not having it, y'all. So Brittany has said,
"Yeah,
with a picture of Christina on the red carpet at the Latin Grammys, refusing to speak when you know the truth is equivalent to a lie. 13 years in a corrupt system, yet why is it such a hard topic for people to talk about? I'm the one who went through it."
Exactly, though. She is the one that went through it. So is it like, yeah, Christina can comment on it, but was it the time and place? Like, you know, she wants to do it in a way that gives it a little bit more dignity. I'm here to promote something else, but let's talk about Britney's conservatorship.
She had previously, when the case was on and all that kind of stuff, Christina had done quite a lengthy post saying, you know, like she supports Britney and she's blah, 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 all that kind of thing. But I think now that she's like free, she's going to loose cannon to take everyone fucking down. And yes, you know what? More power.
Go Britney. Fuck them more all power. Up. Do it.
But look, we all want that Britney Christina duet. Everyone wants it. Everyone wants to hear it.
No.
Yeah, babe. You know it'd be hot. But do it even in 2020. In 2022. Do we need to still be pitting them against each other? They're nearly 40.
People,
years
this is the nostalgia of it all. People kind of want that back. Like, oh, remember when Britney and Christina were competing? Oh, the memories.
That's Mario Kart.
Misogynistic.
It's our elder millennial selves going, oh, remember when things were good? Oh.
Remember when Genie in a Bottle was everywhere?
Guys, remember when Nightmare was a thing?
Oh, yes.
Love.
Can you believe that it's the 30th anniversary of that game?
Yep.
Yes.
We are officially as old as us.
I was going to say, Marissa's too young for this shit.
Yeah.
Like, Marissa, it came on a VHS tape.
She's the same age as us, Luke.
Oh, really?
You don't need to dumb it down for her.
She's beautiful.
I'm a geriatric millennial, mate. Calm down.
Yeah, she's part of our crew.
Okay, now, so you know what a VHS is.
I want to talk to you, especially I want Marissa's opinion on this as well, because this week in Australia, some bars have just announced that they are taking Afterpay. As a matter of payment for goods and services rendered. Now, as a gigging musician, again, Marissa, who spends a lot of time around the people that are probably
drunk people,
you know,
yeah,
seven drinks too deep. We've all been there. Do you think it's a good idea to give people, you know, free access?
You have to pay. I don't think she needs to afterpay, to be perfectly honest. No, it's not a fucking good idea. Honestly, Afterpay is not even a good idea in real life. I'm like always on Afterpay, and it's terrible.
So like, imagine now they're opening up to people with actual addictions.
Yeah. Oh,
remember your alcohol is a problem? It can get even better.
And Brooke.
And like, you know, even just having PayPass like stuff where you can, where it's so easy and you can't, you don't need to remember a PIN and shit like that. Like, oof.
I just went through finance approval with Combex. They had to look at my 3 monthly statements. Don't look good, man. I eat too much shit. There was way too many trips to like alcoholic beverages.
BWS.
Yeah. You could just put together like, okay, this person's not coping from this bank statement. You can tell.
Surely it raises a responsible service of alcohol issue too, right, Brookie?
Yeah, it definitely does. So as somebody who does own a liquor license, I have a liquor license and an RSA, and I do provide bar services in another section of my life, I don't agree with this at all. The RSA gets called into question. You're giving people with addiction issues access and pretty much, you know, free access, because Afterpay is a get now, pay later. And if you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. And if you're already in trouble with things like alcohol, this is a really fucking bad idea. Mm-hmm. So it was brought up in a group chat, this particular issue. And one of the team who's not on air today, she mentioned maybe, you know, making things like this available for groceries and things. Great idea. Fabulous. Love it. People who are struggling. All right. But people who are struggling and have alcohol addiction, They don't need shit like this to be made available. Yeah,
who's this
them.
Benefiting? That's what you got to ask it's yourself. Not, hey, it's the rich people okay. that own shit enough to pay. Like,
yeah, I can't deal with it. It's not all right by me. It's so irresponsible and just a really fucking bad idea. Ugh.
I'm going to put forward another questionable idea. Heartbreak Highs coming back?
Ugh.
Heartbreak
is it, I was going to say, is it now woke back high?
Hey, they were pretty. They were pretty. Look,
I know they were 90s woke.
They were pretty good. But 90s Australian drama, they had people of colour. They had.
Remember Alex Dimitriaz?
Oh, LGBTQ. I was going to say, I loved Alex Dimitriaz.
Slipping off the seat as we speak.
Oh, what about what about Drazic and Rivers? Oh, bad boy complex. Marissa likes a bad boy. Look at her. She's living a life.
I didn't super watch Heartbreak High.
But
my parents are pretty strict with TV. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Did you actually watch it? I watched it.
I
watched Heartbreak. It when it was on, but I never really was in it. Like,
Netflix,
I was more
if you want to have a
kind of boy.
If you want to have a flashback, it's all on Netflix, all 7 seasons. You can go, oh my God.
Oh shit.
That's my weekend now. Revisit.
Oh my God. So from bad guys to good guys, Terry Irwin has come forward this week because it is the 15th anniversary of Steve's death. That happened real quick, didn't it? It's like, oh, okay. And
I remember when it happened, yeah.
Yeah, there's been lots of rumors around Terry about, you know, is she dating who? Who's what's going on? She's been tied to like Russell Crowe and John Travolta, apparently. It's But she's officially come through this statement saying, I keep saying this, and I think maybe 15 years later, people are finally starting to believe me. Steve was it for me. That's just the way it is. I had a big, big love, and that was enough for a lifetime.
Oh.
Oh, okay. We can talk about that off air.
I thought you meant Steve Irwin.
We can talk about that off air. That's a bit of a first time proposition online, but, you know. We'll talk about that later.
Are you going a little bit red?
He is. Yeah, look.
I can see that. What do we think about Terry's statement? Like, I know it's a bit sad to think about, but do you believe in that once in a lifetime love? That, you know,
well, in her circumstance, let's be honest. Is she going to meet someone that's ever going to be like Steve? She's never going to have that again in her life. She's got children with him, so yeah, it is kind of special. It's not to say she can't have companionship or love someone else again. It's just she's saying, like, just stop the shit. Like, stop saying I'm with this person, that person. Like, it's no one's business but Terry Irwin's, to be honest.
And look, if she wants to go and get as much D as she likes, that's her business. Leave
get
her
it,
alone.
Terry.
Get
that,
get
Russell
that
Crowe.
I've got a soft spot for Terry Irwin, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Steve Association, but she just seems like a very gentle, you know, very gentle soul. And it's in this cold black heart that kind of makes you, you know, like, oh
because we can sort of see through the media, you know, how they're trying to start this whole Terry versus Steve dad,
you know what I mean?
Shit.
Like, it's nice to know Terry's that the villain. People do experience that, you know, storybook, you know, once in a lifetime moment in their lives. It's nice to know because, you know, terminally single. Brooke's married.
Twice.
Yeah, she's miserable.
Though,
it's all right.
Oh, I'm not miserable.
I'm also terminally single.
Yeah, man. I think it's something about our generation.
I love
well,
Brooke that, so serious.
You know what I mean?
I think it's the hotter school of performing arts.
Wait. Yes.
Wait.
We breed talent, but we also breed terminal singleness.
And singledom.
But do you know someone who isn't single anymore or who may have jumped the fence, y'all? Santa!
Oh, What's going on here?
Are you ready for this? I love this story. And after I was able to post this story. After
that picture's given me flashbacks to like a
After I got ball. A week's Facebook ban for accidentally showing a nipple on someone's photo.
Oh my God, where was the nipple? I missed the
in
nipple.
In September.
Whose nipple was it?
It was actually a message to you. It was Tara Reid's nipple.
Oh, God. Well, maybe you deserve the ban.
I was going to say, Tara Reid nipple.
This ad campaign comes from Norwegian Postal Service, and it's a four-minute short film called When Harry Met Santa. And it's a bit cute. It kind of traces the relationship of a man that catches Santa, you know, delivering presents and follows their relationship throughout the years. Like, so he keeps catching him. And then one year he sends a letter to the North Pole saying, Santa, all I want for Christmas is you. Ah, cute. But then Santa, the next Christmas, his presents come through the mail. So it's like, oh, Santa doesn't like me. Turns out Santa had organized for extra help so he could spend more time with the one he loved, and they kiss and at the end. And it's very sweet because what it is, at the end of the ad, there's a little, postscript saying, in 2022, Norway marks 50 years of being able to love who we want to love.
What about Mrs. Claus?
50 years?
I'm sorry. Is she suddenly...
The polyamorous. The polyamorous, isn't that, it's 2021.
Do you think that's not really cool in this day and age? That they're like, hey, it's Santa, like probably the biggest icon in the world. Santa might like to jump the fence every now and then.
Yeah, but
I'm
that
sorry,
means
who here has ever had a fantasy about kissing Santa?
Yeah.
Mummy?
I'm a little bit creeped
out. You were that little kid, weren't you,
honest.
On his lap?
No. I thought you guys would be much cooler about this.
No, I'm a little bit creeped out, all right? Do you want to know why? Because of the whole, I feel like this is a whole teacher-student abuse of power type of thing, and I'm just, I can't deal
with it. But he was a grown man.
It's
a grown man and a grown man.
Nah,
it's
two
power dynamics here. Does the other guy have a sleigh? No.
Yeah, I mean.
He's really invested.
Look at the photo. They're both. Older men, macking on. I think it's lovely. More power to you, Norwegian Postal Service. I think it's great.
I mean, I'm all about facial hair, but that's a little creepy and shit.
All right. If you weren't with me on this one, you're really probably not going to be with me on the next one. Because we don't have Vera, so I thought I would jump in for this next segment. Now, Marissa, I think you may have to go because it's 2:00.
I'm really invested in this next part.
All right, well, I'll come,
but thank you for timekeeping for me.
That's okay.
I apologize already to my Kairos because I'll be late for my
We usually have a segment called Vera Events where the lovely Vera gets something in her craw during the week and expresses it. But this week, we're going to change it up for a little bit. For a section, I'm calling Steve Steams. Oh, I'm angry about it. So, this week, I want to talk about something that's just happened in Australia because it's an Australian-centric show. There is a football player called Nico Hines who posted to social media a picture of him and another young gentleman
and his
that
friend.
Says, my guy, with a purple love heart next to it. A lot of people, you know, assumed... And, you know, whatever that means, that this was actually his romantic partner. Why? That statement was later changed to best mate, deleted, and rah, rah, rah. But more than that, we decided to go further and release a statement on this.
Oh.
Okay. Well. This is what Nico's had to say. Hey, guys, I want to knock something on the head that has been brought to my attention over the last 24 hours. I want to start with saying that I have nothing against the gay community.
I just want nothing to do with
support them. Yeah, exactly. I posted a photo a few days ago with my best mate, and it has come to my attention that people have made out that that post was expressing that he was my partner, which is definitely not the case. He is my best mate for 25 years and is happily in a relationship with his girlfriend of around 8 years.
Girlfriend, okay.
I'd appreciate it if you would respect this. I'm 100% interested in women.
I did not touch his pee-pee.
I think it's pathetic that we live in 2021 where we have to look at that post. I don't even really care. I just thought, yeah, they're mates. Like, who cares, even with the caption.
Like, yeah, if you look at the original post, it does look like they're holding hands underneath the table. You know what I mean? A little bit.
Or more.
But my thing is, who the fuck cares? It is 2021. Doesn't matter what you do for a living, you should be able to be partners with, or, you know, whatever, thruple, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. As long as you're not hurting anyone or breaking any laws, you should be able to do whatever you want to do.
Well, the fact he went on record and post that.
Yes, yeah.
The lady don't protest too much, I think.
I know. But why is it anyone's business either way?
As long as he's getting a D.
Terry Irwin can get D. He can get whatever he wants.
I'm all about the D.
Like you get a D.
Everyone
look
gets
back at
D.
These other football players that have come out. You've got Ian Roberts in 1995, mind you. That took some nuts, but it was after his career. Dan Palmer in 2020, and then Josh Cavallo, who is the Socceroo, I think he is, that is the first openly gay soccer player, and now has fears of going to other countries to play because, you know, like, because of his sexuality, he's been open with his sexuality. He's now fearing for his life while doing his job. Like, it's nearly 2022.
Who was a rugby player that came out years ago?
Ian Roberts. I just said that.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for listening to what I'm saying.
No, I was listening because you were saying soccer, though. He was a football player.
Yeah, I said guy. Ian Roberts and Dan Palmer were both football players.
Sorry, sorry. So I missed
Josh Cavallo, soccer player.
Yeah, okay.
Does it matter in this day and age who you're dating, and is it anyone's business?
Well, clearly it does. To TMZ and to all these other things.
And then why have such... The wording of the statement is very... I don't know.
I was going to say,
nothing against the gay community, but...
But don't associate me with them ever.
But...
I'm normal, okay?
We all know. We all know for a fact, some of us, that... There are many, many NRL players that are in the closet.
Everyone's
journey is different. But this horse shit of having to go, oh, I'm totally into women. Oh, I love pussy. Oh, it makes me a man. Like, sure, like, it's time to let it go. And I'm just going to let everyone go now because we're going overtime. So thank you for joining us today. Of course, if you don't already follow the lovely, talented, and divalicious Miss Marissa Storycott. Where are you? Oh, you've done too many fucking things.
I'm right here. I popped it up.
No. Luke's just added 700 tickers to the page. I couldn't find it. Follow Marissa on all the social medias. I cannot wait to hear more about Lizzie and see you go. Is there blood? Is there going to be blood?
Well, I don't know yet. We haven't started rehearsals.
Demand blood, we'll babe.
There has
demand
to be.
Blood. Yeah. Demand blood. Like, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And we will see We'll see everybody next week with the Americans because they're too full and too tired and they can't do a show for an hour.
And they love genocide.
They love genocide.
See, we've decided, Marissa, you got to come back. Oh, we'll just play that clip for her.
Yeah, they do love genocide. And for this reason and many more, we've decided to burn their village to the ground and scalp them. Goodbye.
Oh, that's a koala. I fucking love it, eh?
Nice, mate.
Australia.